This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 441. We are the Fight Disciples. This is dedicated to the world of boxing. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, hit us up on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for, and our website is fightdisciples.com. Loads of stuff on there, including all your Android feeds, Spotify. Go and get stuck into all that. All our social media is there. Our YouTube is there. And the keys to the shop are there as well. There's a little link where you can go and buy merchandise, all Fight Disciples branded, and you can get yourself stuck in to our latest range of beers. That's right, we've gone into that world. Proper Tackle is available for you now. And some of you might have been on social media over the weekend witnessing Pete Jr. and Pete Sr. enjoying some of that Proper Tackle whilst Muggins here was sat in his house. Well, to be fair, I don't mind a Pacifico Claro, I really don't. But I would much prefer to be drinking me own brew, of which I've still not tasted. Do you boys enjoy it for your dad's birthday at the weekend, did you?
That's why I sent you that picture of us just, cheers. Cheers. We're going into lockdown now anyway, so you'll have to wait until...
All right, yeah.
You'll have to wait until...
What, has the postal service stopped, has it? Yeah.
Do you want me to send you the link? I can get you 10% off if you want.
Can you? That's lovely, that, mate. Yeah. Get us a discount. Get us a code.
10%
Can I get
off.
Free delivery? Shit, the bed, eh? But for if you're listening to this, it's legit. I'm not winding you up. I've not tasted it yet. I've no idea what that beer tastes like. So it's for me to come here and sell it to you would be false. I'm not allowed to. He's dead. Might as well get your dad on. Your dad's had a good whack on it, hasn't he? He can tell us.
Absolutely true. It's funny because it's true.
It is. But thank you very much to all the Fight Disciples that have purchased some Proper Tackle and that were tagging us in their social media posts over the weekend, watching a plethora of fights. It was one after the other at the weekend. Kudos to everybody involved for getting that on in these crazy, crazy times. Obviously, we'll speak about everything that happened in the UFC, of course, on our UFC show. So make sure you get over there, even if you're not into the UFC, right? Go over. It's a bit of a laugh. We get stuck in. We have a bit of a laugh over there. And who knows? You might end up becoming a fan. But this one's dedicated to boxing. Right, on a scale of 1 to 10, yeah?
Yeah.
Worst pay-per-view cards. Where does that one rank when it comes to shit after shit after shit and it only being sold on the main event? And that's no disrespect to Savannah Marshall. I'll come to that in a minute, all right? Yeah. But let's be honest, it was all about the main event. I've never prayed for Dave Allen so much in my entire life, mate. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it was kind of unusual to have a box office pay-per-view event that has got, that's only five fights or six fights anyway. Dave Allen fell off, obviously. Nothing he could do about that, of course, but... It was only, even Dave Allen fight though, it was a knockover, it was a papered opponent for Dave Allen to look good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how much that would have added. Dave Allen would have flattened that kid inside two or three rounds. But the six fights that we did get, you're right, take away the main event. You got Elise Selby, who's never really been a fan favorite, I've got to be honest. He's fighting in the wrong weight division now, as it proved. But he's never been a ticket seller. He's never been someone that you would, necessarily put high up a card.
Yeah.
You got two girls fights, which is great. We love the fact that Eddie's given the girls this kind of level of exposure. But let's be honest, the Commonwealth title fight was two girls who are still very much novices in the game. And Savannah Marshall was completely, just a level above Hannah Rankin. It was a wonderful performance, but a level above. And you're watching it. I've got to be honest, the four fights below Selby and Chisora, the other four fights felt a bit like next-gen level.
Correct.
Friday night fights.
Correct.
Even if they were on a Saturday night, you'd be like, come on, Eddie, dig a little bit deeper, son. And then... As I say, Selby's not a big enough name anyway. You're right, man. They basically sold us or sold boxing fans, what, 1999 pay-per-view on the strength of one 12-round fight. In fact, it was the strength of one thing. Is Alexander Usyk the real deal? Is that worth £20? I know a lot of people who follow us on social media who were interacting about the fight. A lot of people stream that fight. Because they didn't want to watch the card They just wanted to watch the fight.
Correct.
And that's the concern, you know. Okay, listen, it was fascinating, man. And I even tweeted about it. I said, fucking, I'm glad that undercard's over. Here's the main event. This is what my money paid
there was
for.
There was one point that even the timekeeper wanted it over. He fucking did a 2-minute round in the Selby fight. Selby? He just went, fuck that. Fuck it. This is rubbish. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the main thing. Let's get on with what you've all come for. Let's get those guys in the ring.
I know we're joking about it, but that's not a good look, man.
No, it's not at all. It's not a good look at all. Like, I know that we're living in crazy times, and I know, listen, this, we're going to get it, right? 100%. Our social media is going to be smashed all week with BT boys. BT, fuck, not interested in that shit. Trust me, I'll call out BT when they put shit on. Trust me, I will do that. We've been doing it for 4 years. We've got Joyce Dubois coming up, right? It's not on pay-per-view. But I would bet your bottom dollar that the undercard's not that attractive on that card. But I can ride it because it's not pay-per-view. I'm not being asked to pay an extra 20 quid. It's up to me whether I stick my nose in it or not. I'll just wait for the main event. This, you were being asked to buy something. And I get it. Fighters need to be paid, of course. But fucking hell. It was dismal. And again, we've mentioned Savannah Marshall's name there. She's obviously becoming a world champion. And I saw all the rhetoric afterwards on social media going, wow, and all this. But I think it's because you were served up so much shit, right?
Yeah.
That you watch that fight. Savannah Marshall is good. She's very, very good. But the talent pool at 160 pounds in the women's division ain't there. There's nothing there. Why do you think Clarissa Shields is coming down? Because there's nothing there for her. She's got to get closer to the weights of 154, 150. You know, she's got to get into that realm before she gets an elite level of competition. And my advice to Savannah Marshall is, well done. You've ticked it off. You've become a world champion, super stuff. Cut 6 pounds. You know what I mean? Get down to 154 and get on to Clarissa Shields, because that's the only fight, mate. There's nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I thought she was phenomenal. And listen,
but because the opponent weren't that good. Come on.
Well, she's a level above Hannah Rankin. And I don't want to knock Hannah Rankin either, because she's a good, honest pro. And the thing with Hannah Rankin is, most people may not know, she's a full-time concert fucking musician.
There you go.
Like, you know, she's...
There you
she's
go. A, there you go.
She's got a job.
Yes.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, social media is going to be battered this week, aren't it? Oh, here they aren't, BT boys having a go at Eddie. No, listen, we're not having a go at Eddie. When Eddie were doing his fight camps in Back Garden, we were saying, listen, everybody else, pull your fucking socks up. This is the guy.
We were wanking him off.
This exactly. is the guy. Look what he's doing. He's absolutely nailing it. But
I don't know what's gone wrong, because when we were restricted to 5 fights and we were stuck in Barry's back garden, we were getting like 4 decent fights.
Yeah.
And okay, one slightly off, you know, matchmaker or whatever, but we were getting 3 or 4 decent fights
yep.
on every card. This fight,
this
you know,
card,
again,
this card,
sorry, yeah. There was literally, and I know Timlin versus Skelly, mate, that was a cracking little dust up against two girls very early in their career.
Hmm.
It was well matched, I'll give you that. But pay-per-view?
No.
Was that,
come on.
Was that pay-per-view standard?
Was it shite?
Not even close, man.
Hey,
not even close.
Phil Edwards, welcome to Team Voldemort, son. Hey, we've got another one. He thought to himself, listen, Terry's had a little bit of column inches, hasn't he? I'll have a bit of that. No problem whatsoever. What the fuck was he watching? What was he watching?
Absolutely no idea. No idea. When I come into the 12th round, we were text messaging each other, weren't we? And I said, he's going to get done here.
Mm.
He's going to get absolutely
on the cards.
Done this kid.
On the cards.
On
yeah,
the cards. Yeah.
yeah,
he's going to get absolutely done on the cards. But, you know, I've got no idea what Phil Edwards is watching. How anyone in their right mind can watch that fight and think Lee Selby was the winner, I've got no fucking idea.
Mm.
Especially when one of the other judges has got it 110, 118. You know, and we'll come on to the border control shortly, I'm sure, about the Terry O'Connor Lord fallout. But surely the board have got to have a chat with these people and go, how have you got him winning by 1 round? And this guy has got him, the other guy winning by 8 rounds. How does that work? Like, you've got to look at the scorecards and go, how are you seeing that and you're seeing that?
Yeah.
You know, a round or two either way, I can live with. When a fight's close, maybe three rounds. These had nine rounds difference. Nine rounds?
Yeah. Madness.
What the fuck?
I want to know what... I want to actually experience watching it live, but ringside, yeah? I've not been... obviously, I wasn't there at the weekend, and I wasn't in the matchroom bubble. So I'd love to be there just to see what other people are seeing. Because we said, didn't we, when we were at the UFC at Fight Island a couple of weeks ago, it is very different. It's very different to being in there. You hear different things, you see different things. Your angle to actually what you're seeing is different to what people are consuming at home with the television monitors and what have you. I'm not making excuses for it, because I think it's quite easy to obviously get over. But I would love just to be in the arena and score a fight and just to see where I'm at compared to where I would be at when I'm watching it home on the monitor. Because I thought all the fights of the weekend were extremely easy to score. Yeah. I thought they were very, very easy. But then obviously me off too. The back of Usyk Chisora, we see Bellew, we see Dave Caldwell. I don't know if Dave Caldwell has corrected himself since on social media, but we see a lot of people coming out, and I don't know whether it's because they have an emotional connection to Derek, I don't know. But they were adamant that Derek Chisora has won the fight. And even Eddie Hearn was tweeting throughout the course of the fight, saying certain things. I'm thinking, are you saying this because you're the promoter and you're connected to him emotionally? Or do you genuinely believe what you're saying? Because I'm not seeing that. I thought the second half of that fight was fucking easy to score. Easy to score. It was nip and tuck. Listen, Derek came out and he threw the kitchen sink at him. And you've got to commend Derek Chisora for doing exactly what we thought he was going to do. It was Bull versus Matador from the first bell. I thought Usyk ended up fighting Chisora's fight for far too long. However, he still won the fight, man. He still won it. Easy. I mean, and I'm being really generous with the scoring of 116-112 to Usyk. It could be wider than that. Could be wider than that. So I'd love to be in the environment just to see what other people are seeing, just so then I can give an honest appraisal of some of these scorecards that are coming out, because some of them are fucking bonkers. They're absolutely madness from people that are actually in the arena.
Yeah, well, Andy Lee scoring the fight for DAZN.
He did it.
Going back to the Selby fight.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I wasn't watching the DAZN feed. I was watching the Sky feed. But people who were watching the DAZN feed were coming at me on Twitter saying, like, Andy Lee's got Selby by like eight rounds.
Where was he? Was he on a monitor or was he in the arena?
Well, I don't know because I wasn't watching the DAZN feed, so I've got no idea. But I joke saying, where is he watching a fight? Fucking Voldemort's couch. Because he's so off.
Don't crack jokes when I'm drinking water, right? You just spat everywhere.
Like, Andy Lee, wicked, absolutely wicked, incredible fighter, a wonderful champion.
And a good analyst sometimes. Yeah, most of the time.
A great analyst. Yeah. Does a lot of analyst work. You know, it's not his first rodeo. We were with him. We were around him in the Tyson Wilder second fight. You know, fucking top guy. Someone who I respect immensely. Likewise, Caldwell and Bellew.
Yeah.
And when these guys are so off, there's got to be some other influence. Now, I'm not saying they're a negative influence or whatever, but like it's like Eddie Hearn. Was Eddie Hearn sitting by Bellew? Was Dave Caldwell sitting by Bellew? So Bellew at the end of every round jumping up saying, keep going, Derek, you've got him. You're doing well. And subconsciously, that's got to change your mind. Like, we were just going back to the UFC, and I want to harp on about it, but it's the only time we've been.
Yeah.
Inside a bubble for a live event.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were watching a fighter from the UK, Nathaniel Wood, fight against an American guy. Now, our commentary position for national radio, we were in the blue corner, as you well know.
Yeah.
And more than once during the broadcast, you said, listen, you can hear through our microphones the blue corner going mad when they do something. But don't let that sway you, and we're going to try not to let it sway us. However, at the end of that fight, social media brought British fans saying, fucking Nathaniel Wood's been robbed, he should have won that fight. But me and you categorically were like, nah, he didn't win that fight. He lost 2-1, and we were convinced. Now, subconsciously, is that because we were closer to the American corner?
Maybe.
And they were making a lot of noise, and subconsciously we're like, yeah, you're right, man. He did win that round. And you know, as much as you want to put it out your head, you're only human. It's bound to happen. Now, in the bubble, is that what's happening to judges? Mm. Was Phil Edwards closer to the Selby corner than any other corner? So all he's hearing is Selby's corner. Mm. You know, what was Dave Caldwell and Eddie Hearn sitting next to Bellew? So Bellew's going ballistic saying, another round, Derek, you've done it, kid. Come on, keep going. And you start, for moderately close rounds, in your head, you're going, yeah, Usyk's won this. Right? Oh, what? Bellew, actually, yeah, maybe Bellew's, this is all going on subconsciously. Maybe Bellew's right, yeah. Del Boy did block a lot of them shots. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe that was Derek's round. It happens. There's that influence. And it's unusual that we thought going into the bubble period, going into lockdown fight sports, we actually had the opposite opinion. We were like, without the fans, without that net influence of the fans cheering and all that, you can hear everything. The judging's probably going to get better. But in fact,
it's got worse.
I think the judging might be getting worse.
Yeah, it is.
Because we're seeing weird scorecards from different sides of the ring.
Yeah. And again, people who haven't experienced that might just think we're talking absolute bollocks. But it's true. It is true. From first-hand experience from that UFC night, it is very, very difficult to block everything out and just watch the fight and then not be subconsciously influenced by what you hear. Bring the fucking fans back. That's what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
So therefore we could get some legit cards in there. But listen, my conclusions from the Chisora Usyk fight, I just said what my scorecard is. I think Usyk won that fight quite comfortably. But
me too.
Tyson Fury went to bed and slept like a fucking baby. Absolutely comfortable Saturday night. And do you know something? I kind of agree as well that Anthony Joshua did as well. I've always thought with Usyk that Anthony Joshua was made for him just because he moves in straight lines and the lightness of the feet that Usyk has and his IQ around the ring. I thought he could outpoint Anthony Joshua. But watching him at the weekend, I thought he got involved in something that he didn't necessarily need to get involved with. And I think, obviously, Anthony Joshua is better than Derek Chisora and he could do that to Usyk. So, yeah, I'm a little less convinced that Usyk can beat AJ. I'm absolutely convinced that he can't beat Tyson Fury. So I think the top boys kind of rest easy. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out because I've asked a question on social media whether people think that Alexander Usyk can win a title in the heavyweight division. And I think this is going to come down to politics. I think it's going to come down to whether belts become vacant or not and whether he has his hand raised at in the heavyweight division because it's going to be difficult for him to take a title off the top boys right now.
Yeah, I think we're in a weird, once again, you know, politics is about to kick in and take over and the heavyweight division's about to be fragmented, I think, which is disappointing because obviously you've got Tyson Fury now getting dragged back into a potential contract dispute over the trilogy fight with Wilder. You've got Usyk, who's made it clear.
Sorry, I'm just like, whenever you said Wilder, I just keep laughing at that YouTube video. I'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to it in a minute. Yeah. Go on, carry on.
The other thing is that Usyk, after the fight, said, no, that's it now. I'm the number one contender for the WBO, and I intend on activating that clause and making sure I get the next fight with AJ. Obviously, AJ's still got the fight with Pulev. Tyson is going to fight again in December against TBA. So there's so much going on in this heavyweight division. But if you just look at that performance, you know, we talked about it on last week's show. I said the only way Usyk really sends a message to this division, really makes a statement, is by stopping Derek Chisora. And in the seventh round, he had Chisora going.
Yeah.
And I'd predicted 7-9. I think you'd predicted 9-12.
10-11-12.
9-10. Yeah. So we were texting each other and we were like, fucking hell, this is it. He's gone. And in the seventh, I thought, man, I'm bang on the money here. My 7-9 prediction is bang on the money because Del Boy's done. He's done.
Yeah. I thought the opportunity was there. I think you're right. I think the opportunity was there for him to put his foot down.
But he didn't.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't put his foot down. Now, there's a multitude of reasons. You know, the Usyk fan will say, that's because he wants to go the distance. He wants the rounds. He's been inactive for over a year. And he also wants to keep the door ajar. So Fury and Wilder, you know, look at it and go, he couldn't even finish Del Boy when he was rocking and rolling. Now, the cynic in me thinks the opposite. The cynic in me thinks Usyk was concerned that he'd never been... He wanted to go the 12 rounds. He was concerned he was going to punch himself out.
I think he was concerned about getting caught. That's what I thought.
He hit Chisora once or twice with good shots. And Chisora hadn't reacted in the same way that cruiserweights react. Hmm. And so he kind of gone, oh, shit, okay, let's do this on points. But the fact that Del Boy rallied in the 11th and the 12th as well and fucking gave her a good old go, that for me, in terms of Usyk's potential to beat one of the top guys, was ultimately the biggest concern because, you know, yes, he was landing nice four-punch combinations, but at no point was Chisora, he was hurt in the 7th, but he wasn't buzzed. He wasn't rocking and rolling. He wasn't, you know, he looked like he was vulnerable, but he wasn't like picking himself up off the floor. He wasn't like fucking done on his feet.
I think if there's another minute in the round, mate, he could have finished him. Because he was starting to do it, wasn't he? And then and I was disappointed in the 8th when he came out and he didn't. I thought there was a real opportunity there for Alexander Usyk to the second half of that fight, like you've just said, from 6 to 10, it's all Usyk for me. Absolutely all Usyk. And I think Usyk at cruiserweight sticks his foot down and takes you out. And I don't know whether he just felt a bit of force from the bigger guy. I mean, 3 stone's a lot of weight to be given away, right? He came in at 15-7, didn't he? You know? So he's obviously feeling it. Even though he's blocking him and nothing's landing relatively clean, it's still there. And if you're going to commit, dig your toes into the canvas and commit to obviously putting your own things together, something's coming back from Derek. He's going to throw something back. So I personally think he was worried about getting clipped. That's why he didn't put his foot down, which is disappointing. I think you need to do it at that against the big boys.
Especially on a weekend like we had, because there was 3 massive events, 2 in the US, which I can't wait to talk about, and obviously this one, which was pay-per-view. And in a pay-per-view event on a big weekend of boxing, Usyk is intelligent enough and experienced enough, and his team know enough about the game to know a 12-round points decision over Derek Chisora doesn't generate the headlines. No. We're only talking about it first because it was on home turf.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we're talking about it first, because there's fucking 2 Miles other guys stuff. That absolutely stole the show that did much better. Mm. My big concern with Usyk, and I mentioned it last week and I reiterated again, is the fact that I wanted to see him weigh over 225 and he only weighed 217, 15-7, as you say. Now, compared to Chisora at 3 stone, similarly, with Joshua, you know, Joshua generally weighs around 240, 245 for his fights.
Tyson Fury, 260, 270.
Tyson Fury for his last fight with Wilder was 273.
There you go.
That's 60 pound, almost 60 pound heavier. That's a fucking other person. You know what I mean? That's huge. And okay, Usyk will probably want to stay light, and it's been done before. David A was only around this weight division when he won a world title, or a version of, let's be honest. Evander Holyfield was only around the same, 217, 220. You know, but Evander Holyfield went up against Lennox Lewis, who was a similar weight to AJ, not as big as Tyson, similar weight to AJ, and lost. Like, it's all good and well going, Holyfield did it. Yeah, Holyfield did it, man. He beat an aged Mike Tyson in a big war, and he had a great run as the heavyweight champion. Mm. Was he ever the heavyweight number one? No, because he couldn't get past the bigger guy in Lennox Lewis. And I think Usyk's in the same position, and I think that's why Team Usyk are focused on this WBO belt, because they know either they get AJ, and I think they've got a chance with AJ.
Yeah.
I'd, right now, after that performance, I'd say, prior to this, I thought Usyk would beat AJ.
Same.
After seeing that, now I'm thinking, nah, man, AJ, if AJ catches him, AJ can finish. Yeah. AJ's a little predator. And I think we often think too much about the Ruiz defeat, which was AJ's, let's face it, worst night in boxing ever. And I think AJ right now has got to be more of a 60-40, 70-30 advantage against Usyk in my mind. But I can never, I'm like you, I can never see Alexander Usyk defeating a man of Tyson Fury's ability, who's also 60 pound heavier than him. 60 pound. Because Tyson's hard to hit at the best of times. You're telling me Tyson Fury's not going to punch a hole in Usyk? 60 pound heavier. There's just no way you're convincing me he ever beats Tyson Fury. But what he does do, he wins a vacant WBO belt. He potentially beats AJ, but I don't think he'll need to. I think they'll use politics to get that belt off AJ. AJ's not asked, and we've said it before. I don't give a fuck. If Usyk goes away, wrestles a WBO belt, beats even Dillian White or whatever it may be for that WBO belt, but over here we've got Tyson Fury versus AJ, I don't give a fuck what belt he's got. He ain't champion of the world. The winner of this is champion of the world.
Agreed. You can interact with us on social media on that. I'm sure you've all got your opinions as to the Usyk Chisora fight and the fallout of it. Get stuck in. You know where we're at Fight Disciples. Shall we get on to the highlights of the weekend? Because let's be honest, you're right in what you've just said. We spoke about that because that happened on British soil. It is a million miles away from being the highlights of the boxing world this weekend. What did I say on the show last week, eh? What did I say? I said a focused Gervonta Davis is a bad, bad, bad man. And he proved it, mate. Jesus Christ. Great fight as well. For anybody that has only seen the highlight reel knockout, you might have a false interpretation of what the fight was all about because Santa Cruz was at it. He was at it in that first round and I thought, we've got a fight on here. This is exactly what I want. Exactly what I want. We've seen the social media covering and the YouTube channel of Gervonta Davis working with Mayweather and the promotional team and proper focused. He's gone Mayweather rather than Broner. This is what I wanted from Gervonta. We were on the hype train 3 years ago. Do you remember when he burst through and he won his first world title? We tipped him, didn't we? We said, listen, this is the kid. Keep an eye on him. He's going to be fucking mustard. Then he just went off the rails. To see him back on track, I was so excited about this because I thought, right, if he's at it, brilliant. But he needs his bell ringing a bit because he's a bully in the ring, isn't he? That's what he is. Yes. He gets in there and he bullies his way through and he smashes people to bits. Nobody's really given him a good hiding yet. Nobody's whacked him on the chops. Santa Cruz put it on him. And that's the thing that I'm most impressed with this fight. Yeah, of course, the slip and the uppercut that he landed to finish the fight is a knockout of the year contender. Absolutely it is. But everything that led up to that, mate, I was knocking one out. I was thinking, this kid... Look at the way he's changing his tactics during the fight. He's 25 years of age, right? Look at the way he's changing his tactics during the fight. He's on the back foot. Now, all of a sudden, he's changed his mind. He's going high guard and he's fucking charging him down. He's still getting popped in the face. Still taking him clean on the whiskers and going, I don't give a fuck, mate. I'm taking your head off, right? And he just kept coming and coming and coming. You could just see at the start of that sixth round, it was like chalk and cheese to the first, wasn't it? Santa Cruz come out, bags of confidence, big smile on his face. That tattoo of his dad, by the way, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of dad tattoos. Commemorate your heroes in life. But who the fuck has drawn that? It's been done with a Crayola, hasn't it? What the fuck is that? Anyway, he's there with his dad. They're all smiling. You can see the confidence. You're thinking, right, this is his time. He's going to show it against this geezer. And it just dwindled out of him. From whether he's thrown the shots and nothing, there's no dints whatsoever in Gervonta. Gervonta's obviously... dished out a couple of big shots as well himself, hasn't he? Fuck me, man. That was very, very, very impressive from Gervonta Davis' performance of the night. Even more so than Inoue, given the level of opponent that he was in against for me.
Yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, speaking of phenomenal, we've just fucking lambasted Sky for potentially the worst pay-per-view undercard in history. So let's champion Channel 5
well done,
for
Channel
picking
5.
This up.
Well done.
Fucking glorious. I wish they picked up the full card because we only got to see highlights of the likes of Regis Progress and Gonzalez knocking out Magdaleno. I would love to have seen the full card because this was a proper pay-per-view card, in my opinion. But we got it for free on Channel 5. Hopefully a sign of things to come. I'd love more Mayweather promotions to get all over Channel 5. So hopefully much more of that, please.
How good is it to actually see fucking fans in an arena? See what I mean?
That's it.
Maybe that's what exactly. It was. Maybe we're all sat there going, they're putting us in lockdown on Thursday. This is fucking a taste of the good stuff. Thank you very much. You've given it us, Texas. God bless America.
No wonder everyone is running away to live in Texas because Texas is not missing a beat, man.
Texas don't give a shit.
Love it.
They don't care.
They don't give a fuck. You've got guns. If Corona comes in, they just shoot it. That's what they do in Texas. Get the gun out. Give it the old 12 gauge. But Santa Cruz, listen, I said on last week's show, man, I said after the year we've had, who fucking knows what could happen here? Gervonta Davis, absolutely, he's got the power. But we also know that, you know, he had a couple of years where he started flirting and looked like he was gonna go off the rails. But he's back with Mayweather. But how will that react? And 2020's been bonkers. And Santa Cruz, we know, man, is quality and has got the ability to box him. I'm getting second round and I'm like, I knew this was going to be a fight, man. Mm. I knew Gervonta was going to be up against it. And then in the second round, he catches Santa Cruz with that uppercut, just cuffs him with it. And you're like, oh, that was a shot. Mm. In the third round, he's looking for it again. Then critically, he lands it in the fourth round and Santa Cruz fucking falls up against the ropes. And then you're like, this is the tactic now. This is exactly what Team Davis have worked on. Santa Cruz, especially when he throws that right hand, his chin's available. If you can slip it and get under it, you can land a big one. A Povetkin-style fucking uppercut, let's be honest. Mm. But the finish, like, listen, Santa Cruz, man, game as fuck, four-weight world champion. This was an unreal fight.
Yeah.
But Gervonta Davis, just like Teofimo Lopez last month, has proved himself to be the future of boxing. There's a handful of guys now who are the future of this sport.
Yeah.
And Gervonta Davis and Teofimo Lopez are two of those guys. I thought we might have been saying the same about Alexander Usyk. I know he's a lot older, but he is a heavyweight.
Mm.
But I still think my guy Triple D is the future of the heavyweight division. But right now, during this lockdown, you know, let's just have a little look around at who's going to dominate this sport for the next 10 years. Because Gervonta Davis and Teofimo Lopez, 100%, look like they're going to be the guys. I'm hoping my guy shows us something this weekend. Don't get me wrong, even though it's not the best opponent. But right now, Teofimo Lopez, Gervonta Davis, if you're in boxing, they're the business to be in, because these two young men are the fucking future, because they're not just winning fights, but they're smashing people to bits. They're destroying legends. And they also have got that charisma, the saleability, the media angle. Like, who doesn't want to be fucking Teofimo Lopez's mate? Who doesn't want to hang out with Gervonta Davis and his private jets? I love it, man. Superstars.
I actually thought his demeanor this week, Gervonta, was where I want him to be. He looks like he's grown up. I know that he obviously he's had a little girl recently and what have you. He just seemed at it. Everything that he was saying, post-fight as well, he was paying tribute to Leo's dad, who's obviously been battling with illness himself, hasn't he? The minute he made weight, the minute he was under 130, I went, fuck me, this is going to be savage. This is going to be serious, mate. And he proved that. He did it in the ring. And then just the way he carried himself out of the ring as well. Listen, we can't brush over all the videos that we've seen of him with his girlfriend at the side of the basketball court and all that type of stuff. I hope he's learnt from that piece of shit moment that he did. And fingers crossed he's got his head in the game and focused on his boxing, because this kid is a serious, serious talent. There'll be people out there now calling for certain fights of who they want him in with next. I personally, I just want him to stay at super feather. Just leave lightweight for a minute. Let them crack on. Because his time's coming at lightweight. There's no doubt about that. And I know that he holds this secondary belt at lightweight because this fight was bullshit, having two belts on from two weight divisions and all this type of stuff. But if you look at super feather, right, Loma's coming back. If Loma fights, Loma's coming back down. Lomachenko is coming back down if he fights again. And you know my thoughts on this from a couple of weeks ago. That's the fight. Gervonta Davis, Vasyl Lomachenko at super feather. Not at lightweight, at super featherweight. You've also got, I mean, Shakur Stevenson's here. Jermell Herring's here. Carl Frampton's in that mix. I don't know how long Carl wants to go on for, but Carl Frampton's in that mix. Oscar Valdez. Imagine that. Valdez and Tank. Shit, mate.
Amazing.
There are fights there at super feather. Don't leg it out of this division yet, because I believe that he could dominate that division. He could wipe it all out. And that, for me, is a bigger statement than just running before he needs to run. Because he'll do lightweight and he'll win. And he'll keep winning at lightweight. But mop up at super feather. That's where I'm at.
Berchelt's the one as well. I'd love to see him fight Berchelt as well. So, but you're right, man. Listen, there's going to be a lot of call now for him to stay at lightweight and, you know, potentially even take on Teofimo.
Yeah, I think the majority of the boxing world want him and Tio, don't they? Of course they do. And it's a wonderful fight. And I'm in. Of course I'm in. I'm just thinking from Tank's point of view, if you can still make 130, mop up.
Which you can.
Go and fucking mop up, mate. Because 135 is going to happen.
Brilliant fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's brilliant fights as well, and you need to we need to put in perspective where Tank is in his career. And Teofimo mentioned this himself. He mentioned Floyd Mayweather became Floyd Mayweather because he started out as Pretty Boy.
Yeah.
He would fucking end people.
Yeah.
He would end people. And that's where Tank is right now. Tank goes to lightweight. He gives up that advantage that he's got. He's the bigger, stronger guy. I want to see him end Valdez. I want to see him end Berchelt. I want to see him rule that super featherweight and then potentially go up another weight division. That's what Floyd used to do. That's how Floyd did it. He's destroying people. There's no rush to get to lightweight. He's got plenty of time. He's only a baby. And likewise, I want Teofimo to rule at lightweight if possible before he goes to super lightweight.
What are you talking about? He's
slightly different for him.
He's undisputed, mate.
He's not. I mean, clean shop because there's guys.
He has done.
There's puppy dogs below him making plenty of noise.
Listen,
there's loads of them.
Stick your Devin Haney up your backside, right? We've done it, baby. We've done it. We don't need to play with your lad. We'll see you at 140, yeah?
But you're right, man. And what I loved about that performance, it was pretty boy-esque.
Yeah.
That same outfit that Gervonta Davis wore.
Yeah.
That's the same outfit that Floyd wore when he fought Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
He came out in the sombrero, the Mexican flag, the colours, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was the Oscar fight. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
That's what Floyd used to do. He used to use the other guy's gimmick. He used to goad the other guy's fans. And it was absolutely sensational. Faultless performance by Gervonta Davis. Sends out a real message that against one of the best guys in the world, one of the pound-for-pound stars in the sport in Santa Cruz, four-weight world champion, done it all. Gervonta Davis got in there and fucked him up.
And nobody else has ever done that. Nobody's done that. Nobody stopped him.
No one's ever done that. As a Fife fan, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're here for them moments. We're here for them moments of guys just utterly dominating someone else and going, fuck. Do you know the ability it takes to do that? Mm. The skill it takes to do that? And I know you picked up on it and it was something Gervonta done himself.
Well, it was in the commentary. I watched it in the commentary.
He takes one, catches one and slips one before he lands that uppercut. Fucking beautiful, man. Beautiful. That is the sweet science at its very best.
Yeah, it was beautiful, mate. Inoue? Gets even better. This weekend gets even better. Now, I know that this was on... You would have needed a Fight TV subscription to watch the top rank stuff and what have you. But Noye Inoue, fucking hell. This dude. When we're talking about pound for pound, right, and you're considering all the other fighters that are dominating their divisions, and you brought up a great point the other week, just to lay it in layman's terms for people on pound for pound. If everybody was the same size, who would be the king, right? Who would be the king? Watch this guy fight, yeah? And I know we'll always refer back to the super fight that he had in the World Boxing Super Series final against Nonita Donaire, where it was nip and tuck. It was a great fight, back and forth, and he got clipped a couple of times, no doubt about it. But even when he's under pressure, as you saw in that fight, he's never off balance. His feet are always perfect. His shot selection, shit. I felt for Jason Maloney at the weekend, man, because he's game as fuck. Absolutely game, right? And he's a solid, solid, solid fighter.
Yeah.
But Inoue's off a different planet, mate. Everything that he does, it's like you've just... If you read a textbook and then look up at the screen, he's doing it. He's perfect. Everything about him's perfect. Fucking hell. And there's another guy that's going to dominate divisions. I know he's going through weights right now. Again, Doug, the only time that this guy's going to come into trouble is when he's fighting someone too big for him. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only time he's going to come into trouble. He's too good for everybody. He's going to smash all of these guys at bantamweight, super bantamweight, no question.
It's that power. It's that power that he's got is just absolutely freakish. You know?
But it comes from perfect technique. Everything that he's doing.
I'm just going to say, it's not necessarily nature, because look at the size of the guy.
Mate, I've stood next to him.
You know what I mean?
He's fucking tiny. He's tiny, mate.
You know? But that's not necessarily nature. That's just nature. That's just drilling that shot, drilling that right hand down the pipe. And, you know, he's got a heavy left hook as well. He can knock you out with either hand. And he's a single punch knockout artist.
At bantam.
Do you know what?
That's Nazim.
That at bantamweight.
That's Nazim.
That's just freakish.
Isn't it?
Absolutely freakish. But to have someone with that kind of power is absolutely phenomenal. And you can't not watch him and get excited. And it's like that old conversation where you often see sometimes that functional muscle. You know, if you're walking down a street and you see a guy, some fucking, you know, CrossFit freak with muscles on muscles on muscles and fucking bursting out of his size medium shirt and all that, you think, oh, fucking hell, he looks handy. And then you bump into Inoue with his glasses on and his perfect bleached hair and his shopping bags. Did you see yesterday the shopping bags from Gucci and Diesel? And he's just coming out the shopping center in Las Vegas like not a care in the world. You think, man, if he parked in my parking space, you'd be like, hey, dickhead, get out the fucking way. And that'd be the last thing you ever said, by the way, because he'd sleep you with fucking a jab. It's freakish, man. It's and that's what makes him so fascinating. That's why this whole monster thing, like the posters that were in the
no, it's mega.
Up in the bubble and all that, where he's like Godzilla, big and is all fucking, mate, they get it, man. And it's one thing Bob knows, it's how to sell someone.
Yeah.
And they know how to sell a new way. His English lessons can't come quick enough. Because this kid is on the verge of being, we mentioned it before, he's the next Manny Pacquiao.
Correct.
He's a fucking absolute superstar. And the touch of death, man. He carries the touch of death. He's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Talking about Casemiro by March to unify that division. Ubali's a sexy fight as well, man. There's some good fights there for him. Yeah, they're not stellar names. Yeah, they're not massive, massive names. But it doesn't need to be. He's the guy. He's the stellar name. Just watch him. He's the man, no question about it. And for me, he mops up at bantamweight before he decides to eat a few more big meals, a few more big steaks and get himself up to super bantamweight. He's a sensational, sensational talent. Murat Gassiev made his heavyweight debut at the weekend, lasted 90 seconds against the former cruiserweight. Pointless, but at least he's fighting again. It's been 2 years since we've seen Gassiev doing his thing. He does have power. He will carry some of that up, obviously, to heavyweight, but we're not going to learn anything with watching him fighting former cruiserweight. So fingers crossed we can get him in with a proper big boy and see where he's at, because I don't learn anything from the weekend.
Especially just big, fat, out of shape. Looks like he hasn't been the gym all of lockdown, former cruiserweights as well. I didn't see the point in it whatsoever, to be honest with you. Mm. But hey-ho.
Hey. Let's get on to the other major talking point from the weekend that didn't happen inside the ring, because this is bonkers, right? All the things that we've just been speaking about, sensational knockouts in Inoue, Giovanta, the thing, obviously, with Usyk and Chisora. That's all we should be talking about. But then Deontay Wilder drops this mad as fuck video on the internet. And it's all I could think about. Sunday morning, I woke up. And that was in my head. I'm thinking, did that happen? I had to go back on social media to check that I hadn't dreamt it, because it's that batshit crazy. I fear for him, mate. If he's... There's saying that stuff, right? And we're in this game. We've been around certain fighters that create characters in order to sell themselves, to make themselves relevant, to get themselves fights, blah-de-blah-de-blah, right? If he's genuinely believing the things that he was saying in that video, and some of it I thought were, listen, this is why the Mark Brennan stuff, calling him a disloyal trainer, what are you talking about, mate? He saved your fucking career. The referee being in on it, saved your fucking career, mate. You were about to get smoked. All these things, the accusations of Tyson Fury and the gloves, I get the internet trolls. I get the fucking clowns that are on the internet looking for an excuse because their hero has fallen. I get that. Make as many fucking daft videos as you want. Yeah? Do you not know how this game works? He's had his hands wrapped by a geezer that is from the State Athletic Commission, stood next to him, and he signed the fucking gloves. How on God's green earth can he change the position of his hands in the gloves? It's just batshit crazy. How's he managed to get an iron anvil in the gloves in that period of time? Unless their commissioner's in on it as well. All this shit's crazy, and I get that you have people who were not educated in this, making videos and sticking it all over the internet. But then when Deontay Wilder comes out and he's making videos and he's saying these things, I worry for the kid's mental health. I like him.
Me too.
I like it. I like him a lot. I've been around this company and we've shared some wonderful moments where we've created some decent content and he's been great value. No question about that. And I still think he's got a massive part to play in the heavyweight division. But he needs some good people around him, man. He's got a lot of yes men around him that are obviously fucking feeding the bullshit, and he needs some good people around him to just pull him to a side and say, Deontay, listen, mate, right? Let's get our fucking heads back in the game. Let's just take stock, come away from this bullshit narrative. We got beat fair and square, end of. Let's come back at it. From the 450-pound suit thing to this, I think it's been, the handling of this loss has been a PR disaster, mate.
Yeah. I'm watching the video in kind of like disbelief, and I'm thinking, is he drunk?
Yeah. Is he taking the piss? Something? Is he taking the piss a bit? I don't know.
Yeah. Like a wind-up. Because I like Deontay Wilder. I like the guy. He's a fucking top guy, as you just pointed out then. And, you know, you want nothing good to happen to him. The problem is he can't accept in his own mind that he's not the best heavyweight on the planet. He was so enveloped in the fact that everyone was saying, and not just media, you know, people like Andre Ward, everyone else was saying, this is the hardest punching heavyweight in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
This guy's an icon. This guy's up there with Tyson. He's up there with Ali. People were talking this kind of shit and going, he's the man. He's the greatest. He's this. He's that. He'd have reigned in any era because of his power. And he believed that, man. He was well and truly fucking chugging on the Kool-Aid. So when he gets in there and gets knocked out by a guy that supposedly can't punch, by a guy that said all of build up, I'm going to knock you out this time. I won't let the judges do that to me again. This time I'm going to knock you out. And he wouldn't accept that at all. So when that actually happens, there's two ways you go. Either you accept it and you move on and you use it as a motivator and you go, you know what? Bad night at the office for me personally. But that's fine. You wait and see next time. If he had any mental strength and if he'd owned that loss like he should have done, we wouldn't have been waiting till October, November, the end of the trilogy contract running out for him to make any noise. He'd have been making noise months ago, going, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't care about fans. I don't care fucking anything. I will fight Tyson Fury in his own gym. I want the third fight. But because he's mentally damaged, because he can't accept it, he never called for the trilogy fight. He waited supposedly for it to run out, the time frame to run out. And then he releases a video. So now he's gone from, my suit was 45 pounds and weighed me down in the ring. Then it was Breland's fucking done me in, pulled me out of a fight, should never have pulled me out. He had no business doing it.
Accused him of something to do with the water as well, wasn't he? Like drugged him.
Then it was
like
the
that.
Water.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was the water, right? The water's fucking tempered with, and Breland's in the spotlight for that as well. Maybe he put something in my water. Then it was the referees in on a conspiracy theory. The referee doesn't want me to win. Then it was he's got a metal egg that he had hold of inside his glove, and that's why the glove was funny. All this bullshit, man. You're just thinking, this is ridiculous. Like I feel like any minute we might get a video from Deontay going, right, the earth's flat. Fucking Tyson Fury's made it that way. Tyson Fury's the problem for 5G. Like, he's going to get the blame for everything.
He started coronavirus.
Honestly, that's where he is right now. And you're right. There's no one, seemingly no one around him to go, Deontay, nah, man. Nah. Bullshit. The worst thing is, maybe Breland was the guy that would have done it.
Yeah.
Because Breland's the only one in that corner from the outside looking in. Deontay can actually fucking trust to have his best interests at heart. Now, how can a corner team turn on one of their own? Like, they turned on Breland and went, yeah, man, you should never have pulled him out. Are you fucking joking? Were you watching the fight? He got smashed to bits.
Yeah.
Breland did him a favor. He allowed him to fight another day. The problem is, because Deontay Wilder's mentality right now and the shape that he's in and the people around him feeding that conspiracy theory bullshit, I don't know whether he'll ever fight again.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll ever fight Tyson Fury again because Tyson's been there, man. Tyson's been in a dark place himself. Tyson Fury, I'm sure, watched that video and thought, oh, shit. Tyson knowing Tyson, I think he's watched that video and gone, I need to help him.
Yeah.
How can I help him? Because he can see it. I can see it. I think the majority of fans can see it. Listen, I'm all about stealing thunder. Conor McGregor's the fucking king of it. And loads of fighters met Floyd fucking hell. He's kept himself relevant for 10 years without fighting anyone by stealing thunder, by announcing things on the weekend of big fights. I get it. And the timing of it was great. And the fact we're talking about it should be great. But the context of it, the actual video itself, is fucking really concerning. Because this is a man who has absolutely wrapped himself up in nonsense conspiracy theorists and he's not appreciating where he is right now. And if he stepped in with Tyson Fury next, Tyson Fury would knock him out even easier. Because in his mind, he's blaming everything but the real problem. The real problem is you. You weren't good enough and you're not good enough now. Until he accepts the fact that Tyson Fury was just better than him and was able to do what he did because of ability, then Deontay Wilder's got no future in boxing. I truly believe that. I truly believe he's got no future in the sports until someone gets him to fucking look at reality. It's crazy, man.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, man. Like you say, we wish we wish him well. Nobody wishes any ill on him whatsoever. And it is deeply concerning when you watch that video. If you haven't watched it, I think I've reposted it on our social media. You can have a little bit of a look at it. Bit of news as well when it comes to TV broadcasting. I know that we've been giving it tons, haven't we, recently about certain fights not being bought and kind of empathising with the broadcasters because they get a certain pot of money in order to buy fights and spend in these crazy times without any live gate. It's very hard to obviously legitimise certain fights. So therefore, some fights we've missed out on. Thank you very much, Channel 5 at the weekend, for picking up Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. We're deeply thankful for that. But you will have seen over the last 7 days that DAZN UK is happening. It's going to start at the beginning of December. DAZN are launching in 200 further territories worldwide. And the first fight of any real note for us here in the UK will be Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell. The little caveat to this is that the week after, DAZN UK will not have AJ Pulev because that's obviously part of the Sky Sports and Sky Sports box office deal. But for £1.99 a month as your entry starter price point, and I'm sure it will change over the next 12 to 24 months, but at £1.99 a month, you can get DAZN UK, of which will feature, I would imagine, all of the Matchroom USA cards. And it then brings into this conversation that we're going to have now, where does this leave the relationship between Matchroom and Sky going forward? Because we know that it's got, what, 7 months left? I think it's next summer, isn't it, that it's out, the current deal. Where does it leave Joshua's relationship with Sky? We know DAZN have got dough. They've proved that. They've been fucking spunking it all over the gaff, haven't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They are not coming to the UK and not making a pitch for the Matchroom UK AJ cards. And AJ.
Of course.
All the stuff that Eddie's doing right now, they are not making that pitch. Of course they are. Eddie's in a wonderful position. Of course he is, because he's now got two companies that he can leverage against each other to maybe get himself more dollar and sign himself a lucrative deal in order to put on more shows going forward. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, man. It's going to be really interesting. We know that DAZN are aggressive when it comes to the negotiation table. Will Sky Sports be hosting boxing events after summer 2021? It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be very interesting because, you know, we can all see what the future of television is. It's streaming, of course. You know, I'm already subscribing to multiple streaming channels as it is. And undoubtedly for $1.99 a month, I'm going to subscribe to DAZN as well because I want to see what their content is about, you know. And I've never watched DAZN, so outside of a fight, tuning in for individual fights. So, you know, I'm interested to see what other content they put on there because it's not just boxing. In other territories, they have different things.
Yeah.
You know, I think they have Premier League in some countries.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to be interested to see what that UK offering contains. You know, is it going to have basketball on it? Is it going to have other stuff on it? It's going to be interesting, man. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, man, there's a decision to be made in terms of, because AJ is the golden goose. Of course he is. You know, that's what everybody wants. You want AJ, you want them figures, you want them viewers. And if DAZN is serious about being in the UK, simply providing us with Matchroom USA cards, I don't think is gonna carry salt.
Of course it's not.
They may well do deals with, of course, they've got a current deal with Golden Boy. We might even see a PBC deal in terms of the UK market, you know, in terms of, you know, like we got the weekend, the one-off deal on Channel 5. Mm-hmm. PBC cards might end up on DAZN as well. So the whole landscape is kind of shifting and everyone's jostling for position. But you're right, man. You know, we've just basically panned a Sky Sports pay-per-view card because of what was below the main event. The offering just isn't there. Now, it doesn't suggest fight fans have got a long-term future with Sky with me because I don't know any fan that went, that was fucking awesome, that entire card. Everyone was like, fucking hell, this undercard, shit, for what I've paid for it. Mm-hmm. Boxing fans seem to be still getting stitched here, there, and everywhere. And DAZN have an opportunity to come in and go, right, we're the home of boxing in the UK. We're having X, Y, and Z. You're going to get ABC from the US as well. We're also going to have this and make a little bit of a pitch for the lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's an opportunity. There's a real opportunity.
I just want to flag up as well, because again, because of our affiliation with the UFC side on BT Sport, people just could be coming at us going, here they are, sky bashing again. No, I don't think, if you think about it right now, as a boxing fan in the UK, where is the home of boxing? You're paying for fucking all sorts. There's no one place, is there? There's no place where you go, this is my boxing channel, this is where I go. So I bring BT into this. You know, they've got to pull the socks up massively when it comes to boxing cards. Frank's got to pull his socks up. You can't just go, we've got a main event here. Here's our main event, job done. And then the rest of it just be like, meh. That's not the world we're living in right now. We're living in a world where there are very short attention spans. And again, maybe our thought process is changed because we're heavy on UFC. It's a lot of our world and it's a lot of our business, the UFC. And being around the UFC, watching the way that they operate, the way that they put cards together, the way that competition level is paramount. And I know that they're different business models and I know that their fighters don't get paid as much as boxers. Of course, that's a totally different conversation. I'm bringing this to you as a fan and a consumer of fight sports. The UFC kicks boxing's ass. It just does. From an event to go to watch on the television, it's kicking its ass. So therefore, there's got to be a change in mentality from the boxing promoters and anybody that is involved in putting these boxing cards on. You're right in what you're saying. DAZN is a new entity coming into the UK as a wonderful opportunity to go, do you know something? We're going to pick and choose what we put on here. We're not going to maybe sign a deal with just Eddie. We're not going to sign a deal with just Frank. We're not going to sign a deal with this, that and the other. I tell you what, we are going to be the home of elite level quality boxing. That's what we're going to do. Every week there'll be something on for you, but you can guarantee that when you come to us, you're going to get some good shit and we'll choose it for you. So therefore, this week we're doing Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. There's a card for you. That's what we'll put on for you this week. Next week, fucking hell, that MTK card's quite tasty. You know what I mean? We'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll put that on for you. There's some good fights for you, everybody. Bang on. What's that? You've got Tyson Fury against Anthony Joshua. We got it. It's all on DAZN. Yeah. Home of
Triple D versus Joe Joyce.
Home of elite boxing. Exactly. Yeah. There you go. And I think DAZN have that wonderful opportunity to go, do you know something? Here we go. And not just DAZN. All the broadcasters need to be looking at their business models. They need to... You can't just dance to one promoter's tune. Again,
no.
This might be talking me out of work here, but you can't just dance to one promoter's tune because of the modern world that we're living in now. You've got to, if you're going to class yourself as the home of boxing, you've got to have a wider landscape than just the narrow mind of what one promoter's telling you is good and what is not good.
Yeah. And listen, don't forget, we were in that world. That used to be Sky's world. They used to pick and choose. They had contracts with everybody. And the sport suffered because the quality of the fights, they never at a certain level. When Hatton was doing fights, Frank was doing fights, Matchroom were doing fights all on Sky. So we got shows every week, but the quality was shite.
Yeah.
But the world has changed now. Boxing has become back in the spotlight. It's a lot hotter than it was back then. And that is largely thanks to this exclusive deal that Eddie and Matchroom did with Sky. And we got a certain level of quality and not only big performances, but big personalities like AJ, people who were able to transcend the sport onto the back pages of newspapers and really bring a lot of eyeballs to the sport again. But once again, that cycle keeps moving. The sport has changed again now. And you can't watch AJ every week. You're lucky if you get him twice a year. So there's got to be enough there to keep the fans interested. And you're right, man. There is no home of boxing. The UFC's piss easy. There's a home. You know exactly where it is. You know exactly where every fight is, where all our content is, the magazine shows, the shit that we do on YouTube and everything else. You know, if you want UFC and you're from the UK, BT Sports, your place to go.
Yeah.
As a boxing fan, it's fucking scattergun approach. Channel 5, Channel 4,
Fight
Sky,
TV, Premier
Fight
Sports.
TV,
for
Premier
Crawford,
Sports.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's an absolute mess.
Yeah.
And we know as well as anybody from doing this podcast for the last almost 5 years. We know it's got to be there every week without fail.
Consistency.
Same place, same way to deliver. So people can listen to it the way they listen to it and consume it regularly in the same spot. Don't make them go looking for it. Don't make them search for it. You know, we know ourselves. If this isn't up by Monday lunchtime now, people are like, hey, come on, bollocks. Where's the show? And I think that reliability, that place with the consumer, that it's here, man. You want it? It's right there. Don't. The world's too busy. There's too much competition to make people go looking for your product. And that's where boxing, because boxing is a collective. I know it's Eddie over here and Frank over there and PBC and Bob Arum and they're all, mate, they have to realize that they are a collective though. From a boxing fan, for most boxing fans, I don't give a fuck whether it's a Top Rank show, whether it's a Frank show, whether it's an Eddie show. I'm there to watch because I love boxing.
Yeah.
And I want to I want to watch the best fights. Collectively, they've got to be in the same place. And does, as you say, The Zone could do it, man. The Zone could ring fence the whole thing and they would own boxing in the UK. There's an opportunity there for them or someone else to fucking run with it, man, and do it.
You want to talk about
something? You need a presenting team.
Yeah.
Always been a big The Zone fan. Always been a big
DAZN. Can't get enough of The Zone. You want to talk about fights this weekend then, big boy? Go on.
Yes, here he is.
There you go. I'll let
talking about young superstars, the future of the sport, everything else. Listen, man. Even I'm the biggest fan of Devin Haney in the UK. I'm a massive fan. But let's be honest, his belt isn't really worth much at the moment. He did get it via email. There is a true WBC lightweight champion out there.
Yeah.
His fight this weekend against...
What's his name?
Can't remember now. The fellow who Lama lost to? What's his name? Lama's mate. But I think Devin Haney has an opportunity this weekend on a Matchroom show in Florida to make a statement against Gamboa. Gamboa went 12 rounds with Tank, weirdly, in his last fight, which again just makes this WBC world title belt that's on the line even more bullshit. For me, you don't get stopped in a fight and fight for the world title in your next fight. But anyway, whatever. WBC make this shit up as they go along, as we know. But Devin Haney gets an opportunity to do a bigger statement against Gamboa than Tank did and get in that conversation. And again, sub 25 years of age, I truly believe Haney deserves to be alongside Gervonta, deserves to be alongside Teofimo Lopez. He is the future of this sport, absolutely, for the next 10 years. And I believe my boy's going to make a bit of a statement against Gamboa.
Well, I'd be disappointed if he didn't. Gamboa's 38 years of age, mate. You know what I mean? He's coming into the ring in his bloody Zimmer frame. It's a joke of a fight.
It is a bad fight.
He should be smashing him. The statement should be there. And it should be quick, smart, sexy. Boom. There you go. Get on the microphone. So, right, motherfuckers. Y'all think I'm email champ? Let's do it. Teofimo. That's the only name. Don't give me any other bullshit names. Teofimo. Don't be running up to 140, son. You've got unfinished business. You want undisputed? I'm here. Here's this email belt that you keep saying. Let's go. That's what he should be doing.
Yeah, 100%. And I think he will. I think he absolutely will. Because he's got to. Because there's just too much. Teofimo now is the superstar in this weight division.
Yeah.
And that won't be sitting right with Devin Haney. Devin Haney is a superstar. But he'll want some of that shine. And he knows it's now or never. If he calls out Teofimo now, he gets it. Mm-hmm. It's all about Devin Haney this weekend, looking sensational against Gamboa and then calling out Teofimo. If he doesn't call out Teofimo, if he goes down the Gervonta Davis route,
go on.
Goes down the Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell route,
say it.
Man, he's not my guy no more. He's not my guy no more.
If he doesn't say it, I'm out.
It's over. If he doesn't call out Teofimo, it's over, man. It's over.
Love it. That's the fight this weekend. Don't know what channel that's on, actually. Has it been announced on Sky?
Oh, no, it hasn't, actually, no. Would it be on Matchroom USA? I presumed it was, but...
I haven't seen it. I'll try and get a little bit... listen, before I even get information on that, there's people listening to this podcast that are far more in the know, and they just ping me answers. So thank you very much. If you want to ping it towards Fight Disciples, you're more than welcome to do so on Twitter. But that's this week's action. And then the week after, got a bit of a special for you, because I caught up with Terence Crawford on Friday. And I'm catching up with Kel at some point this week, because he's flown over to the States. Lots to talk about, because on the 14th, it is, of course, Babby's last dance, isn't it? It is
Mission Impossible.
That's it. I'm going out there. I'm gonna dish out the brownies. That's what we're doing. So we'll be talking to both of those guys over the next couple of weeks, heading into the 14th. Thank you very much for listening to us. You can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. fightdisciples.com for everything else. Go there. That's where all our social media links are and Android feeds for the podcast and our YouTube too. And you can also buy yourself some beer. It's coming up to Christmas, isn't it? Coming up to Christmas. Do you think I'll get a crate before Christmas? What do you reckon?
You might get a crate for Christmas. I'll text your wife for discount code.
Eh? You text my wife?
I'll text your wife the discount code so she can buy you some for Christmas.
All right. Have you got my wife's number?
It's another story. Anyway,
thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.